Good afternoon, everybody. This hearing will come to order. Ms. Berkeley is on her way. We're meeting today to receive testimony on the Veteran Benefit Administration's public contact program, as well as the extent and nature of current outreach efforts to service members, veterans, and their dependents. In recent years, VBA has done a good job of producing and distributing information that outlines the various benefits and services offered by the Department of Veterans Affairs, including a Survivors Benefits website that was launched just last year. The federal government likewise has begun taking a more active role in providing information, such as the website firstgov.gov, which is marketed as the, quote, U.S. gateway to all government information, end quote. However, web-based and other types of electronic information programs may not be readily accessible to some potential beneficiaries. For this reason, it is vitally important that when someone calls their local VA office, they receive accurate information in a courteous manner. It was brought to my attention through a series of published articles in VA's so-called mystery caller program that almost half the time that callers who were in fact VA employees posing as customers were given inaccurate information. In several instances, callers were treated rudely. Veterans and their families deserve better than this. On the 24th of January of this year, I wrote to Admiral Cooper requesting information on what VBA has done to improve its public contact service. I appreciate his timely response. The mystery caller program is the impetus for today's hearing. Ms. Berkeley is running a little bit behind schedule, so what I would like to do is begin with panel one. If we would, at the end of the panel, we'll give Ms. Berkeley an opportunity for her to begin, give her opening statement if she chooses to do so. You're already seated. We appreciate you being here. Mr. Jack McCoy is Associate Deputy Undersecretary for Policy and Program Management at the VBA. He's accompanied by Ms. Carolyn Davis, VBA's Outreach Coordinator, and Ms. Diane Fuller, the Assistant Director for Veterans Services with the Compensation and Pension Service. Mr. McCoy, you may begin.
Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittee, I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today to discuss VA's outreach activities to make service members, veterans, and their survivors aware of benefits and services. As you mentioned, with me today from the Veterans Benefits Administration are Diane Fuller, Assistant Director of the Veterans Services Staff, and Carolyn Davis, Veterans Benefits Administration Outreach Coordinator. Also, my testimony will describe how VA is improving telephone services for those who call in to VBA regional offices. I will specifically address the actions that resulted from the Mystery Caller Study, which is an internal quality improvement initiative. Let me first talk about outreach to service members. Beginning in November of 2004, all persons inducted into the five military branches receive a VA benefits pamphlet at the military entrance processing station. This pamphlet assures that inductees receive basic information on VA benefits. One of VA's most successful outreach programs is the Transition Assistance Program, through which benefits briefings and personal interviews are conducted by VBA representatives to regular active duty and Guard and Reserve members. These briefings are key components in ensuring service members experience a seamless transition from the military into the VA system. With the activation and deployment of large numbers of Reserve Guard members following September 11, 2001, outreach to this group has been greatly expanded. For example, the overall number of benefit briefings for this group has increased from 821 nationwide in fiscal year 2003 to nearly 2,000 briefings in fiscal year 2005. Recently, VA and the National Guard Bureau teamed up to improve the coordination of veteran benefits at the state level by training 54 newly hired state benefits advisors. These individuals will educate their fellow combat veterans on the many benefits to which they may be entitled. Through VA's Disability Transition Assistance Program, or DTAP, transitioning service members are made aware of benefits available from VA's Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment Program. Since 2003, VA has placed representatives at key military treatment facilities where severely wounded service members from OEF-OIF are frequently sent. These representatives educate service members and their families on VA benefits and services and assist with the filing of disability and vocational rehabilitation claims. As of January 3, 2006, 8,452 hospitalized returning service members from the major military treatment facilities have been assisted through this program. VBA continues its benefits delivery at discharge program through which service members can apply for service-connected compensation within 180 days of discharge. Currently, 140 military installations worldwide participate in this program, which includes two sites in Germany and three in Korea. Let me now address outreach to veterans. For recently separated veterans, the Veterans Assistance at Discharge System process generates the mailing of a welcome home package that includes a letter from the secretary along with pamphlets describing VA benefits. 6-month follow-up letters are also sent to veterans recently separated or retired from active duty. This includes Reserve and Guard members. Separate packages are sent that explain education, loan guarantee, and insurance benefits. In the past few years, VBA has enhanced its national effort to reach out to former prisoners of war. News releases have been issued, a redesigned website has been activated, and letters have been sent to former prisoners of war informing them of additional or a higher level of benefits to which they may be entitled. Regional office outreach coordinators continue to participate in outreach activities in their communities. VBA is enhancing outreach to low-income and elderly veterans and surviving spouses to make them aware of their potential entitlement to pension benefits. VBA's outreach coordinators routinely participate in events where low-income and elderly veterans and surviving spouses gather, such as senior citizen centers, nursing homes, and senior daycare centers. Relationships have been established with local agencies on the aging, Social Security offices, and other organizations that come into contact with older Americans. VBA has distributed more than 2 million copies of benefits pamphlets to more than 1,300 Social Security offices nationwide. VBA is working closer than ever with Veterans Health Administration and the National Cemetery Administration to ensure benefits information is made available at key customer service points. We will continue to build and strengthen relationships with agencies such as Department of Health and Human Services, AARP, and National Funeral Directors. As part of Public Law 10795, VA established a full or part-time homeless veterans outreach coordinator at all 57 regional offices. We will continue to work with other federal agencies and groups that are involved in homeless veterans programs. I see that my time is up. If I could just...
Don't worry about it. Please continue.
Thank you. I'd like to touch on improvement of our telephone services. In addition to the extensive outreach activities described above, VA regional office employees provide direct telephone service to veterans and their family members. In fiscal year 2005, we handled more than 6.3 million phone calls. In an effort to improve quality, an internal initiative known as the Mystery Caller Study was undertaken to assess the accuracy of the information provided over the telephone that is not related to a specific claim. While the findings of this review were disappointing, they have been a catalyst for actions to improve the quality of our telephone services. VBA has strengthened field guidance, oversight, and accountability systems in this area, and we have expanded training resources available to our employees. Completion of an online reference system to help ensure that employees provide accurate information is being expedited for delivery by the end of this year. Centralized training is scheduled in June of this year for public contact representatives from each of the 57 regional offices. We are also in the process of implementing a national telephone quality assurance program that we successfully piloted last year. The Undersecretary for Benefits has communicated an expectation to all regional office directors that immediate improvements be made in our telephone service to veterans and their families. It is absolutely essential that we provide complete and accurate information to all those who call us for assistance and that our assistance is provided with courtesy, understanding, and professionalism. This is and will remain a top priority for the entire organization. Mr. Chairman, this concludes my testimony, and I'll be happy to respond to any questions that you or other members of the subcommittee might have.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Are the VA employees aware that they're being monitored by this program? Are they recorded during this monitoring process? And if not, do you think that it should be recorded?
They are recorded.
They're not recorded.
They're not recorded, but they are aware that the silent monitoring is going on. And the fact that they are aware of the silent monitoring is one of the things that we brought to light that has started to improve our quality. If I might just add, I had the opportunity week before last to go down to Nashville, Tennessee, and do silent monitoring myself along with the deputy director of CMP service. And we did silent monitoring on 4 of the regional offices there. And if I came away with one thing from doing that silent monitoring, it was the fact that my observation was there were an awful lot of good employees sometimes trying to answer awful complex questions.
Why do you think what you in your own terms said was disappointing in regards to the mystery caller program, why do you think it was so disappointing?
When we did the mystery caller study, obviously we wanted to see what kind of quality we had, what kind of quality we were giving to the public. I think what we found out is probably as much as anything was that when we did the mystery caller study, it was based on specific calls. It was not based on claim specific calls, excuse me. It was based on general calls. In other words, someone would call up and ask a general question. My brother is a veteran. What can you tell me about this benefit? And we learned that we had not trained the people that we have on the telephone well enough to handle these type calls.
Section 7726 of Title 38 requires the VA to report on an annual basis to Congress on the effectiveness of your outreach programs. What I'd like to know, is VA in compliance with this requirement? If so, where can I find the recommendations, and if not, why not?
I'm not sure I can answer that question, sir. I know that the department no longer publishes the secretary's annual report. This report has been succeeded by the annual publication of the Performance Accountability Report. But
I would just say that Section 7728 of Title 38 requires VA to report annually to Congress on the effectiveness of your outreach activities and make recommendations for improvements. And as far as I know, it's still a requirement. So if you could find out.
I'd be glad to.
Thank you very much. I'd like to yield now to Ms. Berkley, the ranking member of the subcommittee, who does have an opening statement, but she's asked that it be entered into the record, and without objection, that will be done. And she also has some questions that she'd like to pose to you, Mr. McCoy. Ms. Berkley?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being late. I try never to do that out of respect, not only for you, of which I have considerable, but to our witnesses as well. The woman that handles my Veterans Affairs issues, among many others in my office, is leaving after this hearing is her last. So we were having a little goodbye celebration in the office, and it went a little bit over. But I want to thank Shannon Van Felden from Henderson, Nevada, for her service not only to me and my constituents, but to this committee as well. Thank you very much. I do have an opening statement, and as the chairman said, I'd like to submit it. Obviously, the purpose of this hearing and the concerns that we have is the fact that people call the VA expecting to get some help, and we found that a considerable percentage don't get accurate answers or get completely inaccurate answers, and I suspect that your opening statement addressed this. But I did want to ask some questions, and if they've already been answered or if they were contained in your opening remarks, I apologize ahead of time. But we understand from the American Federation of Government Employees that management at the VA typically views VBA telephone services as a low priority. Records of calls are not kept. Emphasis is on reducing the call time to comply with the 3-minute rule. Other witnesses, have any studies been undertaken to determine that that the 3 minutes is adequate time to respond to a caller? And is there, in fact, this 3-minute rule?
I am not aware of the 3-minute rule. I would say to you that each regional office, a veteran service representative that is taking phone calls in the phone unit, has a performance standard just as the other veteran service representatives do. In that performance standard would be 64 calls per day. To say that that VBA puts a low priority on phone calls, I would also say that each regional office director, in his or her performance standard, has a element in their standard, which is the lost calls or abandoned phone calls that would come into a regional office.
Mr. McCoy, if I can direct your attention, and you might want to read this, the written statement of the American Federation of Government Employees on bottom of page 2 and 3, they talk about the productivity pressures, including the 3-minute rule. And they're instructed to comply with both a 3-minute time limit for length of calls and a 3-minute limit on length of time, how long callers wait.
I mentioned earlier that 2 weeks ago I had the opportunity to go to Nashville, Tennessee and do silent monitoring on 4 regional offices in the southern area. And I would only respond that I can assure you that 3-minute rule was not in effect at those 4 regional offices that I had an opportunity to do silent monitoring on. There were anything from sometimes it very well might have been a 3-minute call because it was a very quick question or someone asking directions.
No, that's not what they're saying. They're saying that there's a 3-minute rule that management is telling them to get on the phone, get off the phone within 3 minutes and pick up the next.
Absolutely not. Because there are phone calls that take 10 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it might be. I do not know where they got that information from.
Well, I think that's exactly the point, that we're dealing with issues that do take longer than 3 minutes. In years past, all calls were answered by a public contact unit, and these employees receive training in telephone interviewing techniques as well as substantive matters. Currently, some regional offices have employees splitting their time between public contact and in-depth case development. Should VBA reinstate the public contact unit, at least in larger offices, do you think?
I would answer that by saying that is an issue that, as we speak, we are actually looking at right now. And I would even go so far to say in a few weeks I would have a much better answer, because it is something that Admiral Cooper actually tasked me to do.
And while you're looking into that, would you also look into whether or not employees assigned to public contact be trained in telephone interviewing skills? I mean, in my own congressional office, I know that perhaps the only contact that my constituent or somebody calling my office is going to have is the person that answers the phone. And if they don't, A, know what they're talking about, and B, have good telephone skills, I lose that vote. And while you may not be losing a vote, you're certainly going to be losing the support of the veteran, and worse, that veteran isn't going to be getting the right information that they need.
I agree with you, and one of the things that we are doing now to provide leadership training and direction not only to our managers but also to the veteran service representing answering the phones is we are having workshops. We recognize the fact that they need to be trained better, and we're going to do that.
Okay. What about this as a management tool? Do you think the VBA should award productivity points to public contact employees who provide correct and courteous responses? I guess that would be akin to merit pay of some kind. Do you have an incentive or?
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand the question, but I guess I would fall back on the fact that I think, you know, every call that we take, people should get the right answer and get professional and courteous service. so it shouldn't be an added initiative for them to do that.
All right, let me ask, it shouldn't be, but if we know we've got a problem and only 19% of the people that call the VA get accurate information, and we know 22% get absolutely the wrong information, it seems that we need to do this a little bit better.
I agree.
The Senior Law Project Pension Benefits Pilot Program in Reno has suggested that the VBA needs to drastically improve their information dissemination to reach those most in need and to improve coordination and communication with VA medical centers to identify patients who may be eligible for the pension program. Their testimony mentions a VA hospital, a VA patient who spent her first check for $94 on food and another for whom $100 would have seemed like $1,000. Since VA medical centers have information concerning the low-income veterans they are serving, what steps do you think could be taken to assure the appropriate information and referral is provided to these veterans concerning the pension program and, in particular, housebound and aid and attendance benefits? Is there a way we can be coordinating these programs?
Absolutely, and I would ask Ms. Fuller to address that.
We've been looking at, when we're calling it pension outreach, one of the steps we have recently taken is working closer with VHA, and they have added benefits information, particularly centered towards pension, in their enrollment letters that are sent out to veterans in the Category 5 enrollment procedures, and we believe, and that's going to start May 1st. And, you know, we had a great concern when we read some of the articles that these veterans had visited were working with VHA, and they still didn't know about benefits. So we've really tightened our relationship with VHA. In addition, some of the information appeared that these veterans probably were working with social work, and we have done some training on the National Social Workers conference calls, and we continue to work with them on an ongoing basis. We will be distributing more of our pamphlets to the VHA facilities for placement in such areas as the pharmacy and other places where veterans tend to have to sit in and wait for some services.
Okay, so explain to me, if you would, how that works. You leave your pamphlet at the pharmacy, older American veteran starts reading the pamphlet and says, oh, look at this, I might be entitled to some benefits, or here's a phone number. What happens once they get that pamphlet?
Once they get the pamphlet, if they think they're entitled or want some additional information, we provide our 1-800 number there in the pamphlet, as well as our website address. We just want to make sure the information's out there where our veterans are.
Let me ask you another question, and I think, Mr. McCoy, if you're not the appropriate person, just directed to the right one. Have you ever considered putting information concerning pension, housebound, and aid and attendance benefits onto recorded information provided to waiting callers at the VA medical centers? Somebody's on hold. Do you have a recording that can be giving them the information while they're waiting?
No, ma'am, we've never considered that. I mean, it's obviously something that we would be more than willing to consider. I would be somewhat concerned, I think, about giving that type of information on a recording as to how well it might be received by the veteran or whomever it might be, but it's definitely something we can consider.
No, I appreciate you telling me that you don't think that's a particularly good idea.
No, I didn't say I didn't think it was.
You don't have to be polite. All right, let me just conclude this line of questioning with one other question. The pension benefit pilot program has clearly identified and assisted eligible veterans and survivors in assessing benefits. Does VBA have any data concerning the success of the outreach efforts described in the testimony?
Again, I would ask Ms. Yes. Fuller.
On the specific, if you're talking about the pension outreach, mm-hmm. that type, we don't have any specific data on that. We don't if you're talking about the number of veterans we've assisted, we do not collect that data currently. We do know that we have an elderly outreach coordinator in each regional office, and their assignments are to work with the area agencies on the aging and the local communities in trying to determine how we can best meet the needs of those veterans and surviving spouses. We have a great concern about the surviving spouses as well.
Yeah, I... Oh, do you think you could provide a list for the record that you were just discussing, a copy for the record?
A list of who we contact and we...
The elderly outreach coordinators.
Absolutely.
I would appreciate that. In conclusion, let me just thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it. This is an issue of obvious concern to all of us. I think our veterans have a tough enough time, and knowing that these benefits are out there and they're not getting the accurate information they need to access these benefits and get the help that they need, I think is a concern for all of us. And your help in this matter is greatly appreciated. And I want to thank the chairman for elevating this to a subcommittee hearing so we can get the information out and endeavor to work better to help our veterans. Thank you very much.
Can I go back and refer to the three-minute rule that was talked about? I mean, while it may not be necessarily written, is it implied because of the performance-based requirements of X number of calls during a day that have to be handled? And so if you do the math, you come up with 3 minutes per call in order to meet your goal?
I absolutely don't believe that's true.
Didn't you say there were performance-based measures that they had to do so many calls a day?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and how many calls?
64.
Okay.
But my point was, I know from experience, years of experience, that that's impossible. To say someone never said that, no, I would never say that.
Figure out whether it's written or implied.
No, sir. I do not know anywhere that would be written. And I cannot imagine why anyone would imply that, because you can't do it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. You are making some efforts in outreach. I think this subcommittee appreciates that. But I think it's obvious from some of the questions and conversations that we would like to see greater oversight of the public contact team. And I think your comments today are geared towards that, and I appreciate the resolve. We'll probably get back together in the near future and talk about it again. I'd like to ask a favor, if your schedule permits. Would you stay for the next couple of witnesses so you can hear their testimony? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll invite the second panel to come to the witness table, and also includes Mike, I think you're going to make an introduction. If you would let everybody come forward. If I could, by way of introduction, just say that Mrs. Ann Knowles is the president of the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and since 1975, she's worked with veterans and their dependents on behalf of the Sampson County government in Clinton, North Carolina. Ms. Vivian Hersell is a new member of Gold Star Wives, who I had an opportunity to meet prior to this hearing. Her husband, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Rich Wersell, served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. 1 week upon his return, he died on active duty at Camp Lejeune. Ms. Wersell volunteers on Gold Star Wives Legislative Committee, and we appreciate her being here today. My good friend, Representative Mike McIntyre, will make the official introduction this afternoon. He represents the 5th Congressional District, Our fifth term in the 7th Congressional District.
Right. And, thank you.
Yeah, well, you'll probably have many, many more, too. So we and has introduced legislation to enhance outreach services to veterans and their survivors. Congressman McIntyre, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to make this introduction.
Well, thank you, Chairman Miller and Ranking Member Berkeley, and all the good work y'all do on behalf of our veterans. And that's an absolute commitment I know that we share to those who've sacrificed to serve our country. And so it does make it a great privilege to come today and to speak before you and to introduce a lady who has committed her life professionally and personally to the type of professional concerns that we know our veterans need to have attention given to. In 1965, Ann Knowles was president of the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and she began her work as a county service officer back then in her way to becoming national president. For more than three decades, she has assisted our veterans, helping them obtain the benefits they so clearly need and deserve. In 1992, Ms. Knowles was elected by her peers to serve as the president of the North Carolina Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Since 1998, she's held every leadership position in the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and last year was unanimously elected president of the association. She truly exemplifies the compassion and commitment and cooperative spirit that enables veteran service officers to help this nation's most valiant warriors, our veterans. Her compassion for helping people led her to become a veteran service officer to begin with, and her commitment has been exemplified by not only the professional work she's done, but her working with these state and national organizations. I'm really pleased that last year, in working with Ann, we decided to introduce legislation, the Veterans Outreach Improvement Act of 2005, which would allow the VA to partner with state and local governments to reach out to veterans and their families in ensuring that they receive the benefits for which they're eligible and assist them in completing their benefits claims. Only about, and this is a pretty amazing figure, Mr. Chairman, only about 30% of veterans receive the benefits for which they're eligible. And I know in the situation with my father and my father-in-law and other relatives, they have been amazed to find out, as veterans, the number of benefits that are out there that many veterans just don't realize they have available. I want to thank Ann for coming today. Our county veteran service officers and our veterans need the assistance that this bill will provide. I encourage the committee to give the bill its full consideration. I look forward to working with each of you and furthering the cause of helping our nation's veterans. And again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Ann for making the trip to be here today from our home district to be with you today so that you can hear this special testimony from a very special lady about a very important bill. May God bless you all in your work, and may God bless you, Ann, for what you do. And we pray God's blessings upon our nation's veterans. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Congressman McIntyre from the 7th Congressional District. I appreciate having the opportunity to partner with you on so many issues that are important to our veteran community. Thanks for being here. Those were the bells. Everybody heard them ring. We were not supposed to have a vote at this time in the afternoon. However, I would like to go ahead and squeeze as much time as we can in this process. So we will let you know if we begin to draw short of time. So, Ms. Knowles, if you would, we will ask you to begin with your testimony.
Yes, and I would ask that my testimony be made part of the record.
Without objection.
Chairman Miller, members of the subcommittee, it is truly my honor to be here to present this testimony before you as president of the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers. I'm commenting on the following: recommendations for the improvements to the accuracy and quality of service provided by the Veterans Benefit Administration to individuals calling into the VBA. Recommendations for the creation of a federal, state, and local government partnership to provide outreach to our veterans and dependents. The National Association of County Veteran Service Officers is an organization made up of local government employees. Our members are tasked with assisting veterans in developing and processing their claims. Between 75 and 90% of all claims are originated in a county veteran's office. Our members sit across the desk each day with these men and women who wish to file a claim. They are our friends, our neighbors, members of our community whom we see daily. We exist to serve veterans and partner with national service organizations and the Department of Veterans Affairs to serve veterans. We'll speak about the VBA's telephone units. It appears the majority of the problems center around new staff with a lack of knowledge of VA programs and sometimes disinterest in assisting the veterans or the veteran service officer of record. When a veteran calls to request the status of his or her claim, the answer shouldn't be that request will have to be made in writing. That's definitely the wrong answer. Worse yet, some have been told wrongly not to file a claim. The service officers expect to be giving information when calling on any veteran they represent. It is not uncommon to be told, we can't give you that information if the veteran isn't with you in the office. The goal of people assisting veterans with benefits should be to do what it takes to get the veterans the benefits. If first impressions mean anything, the first point of contact with the VA is the 1-800 number. Sometimes it has left a bad impression on many veterans and their dependents. So let's fix that. At one regional office in Florida, the service center manager has an excellent solution, and that can be found in our written testimony. I didn't have enough time to go into that, but they have an excellent solution. Outreach. Outreach means different things to different people. Outreach to the county veteran service officer means directly touching a veteran and his dependents. The VA's concept of outreach is putting posters into VA hospitals, the vet centers, the clinics, publicizing in the organizations, magazines, and these are good. Both of these methods have the ability to reach a certain segment of veterans. The outreach that I will address is the hands-on approach. Across our nation, there are veterans that do not think they're a veteran because they didn't lose a limb or they didn't get injured. They came home, went to work to support their families. They have never looked for help from the government. And when the veteran dies, his wife or his children do not look because they didn't know they were entitled to, that their husband or their father's service in their, serving their country gave them the entitlement. They are mostly lower income and have never reached out to the VA, and therefore they don't think they're entitled either. I look at rural North Carolina and see the great need to make these veterans aware that they deserve the benefits, that they are earned entitlement. They're not welfare. These veterans have never made use of the VAMCs, the GI Bill, the pension, the service-connected, none of the benefits because they don't think they have earned them. They just served their country and came home. It is so rewarding when you can meet a veteran and you tell them what they're entitled to and you see the hope on their face. It sometimes means the difference between eating and taking medication. I'm sure if a study was completed, you would see a large number of rural veterans. We have never used the VA for any service. The VA has responsibility to reach out and make everyone aware of the entitlement. Outreach efforts must be expanded in order to reach those veterans, dependents, and survivors that are unaware of their benefits. Only 1 in 7 of the survivors are receiving benefits. It is obvious there is a great need for outreach into the veterans community, and the local CVSO is the advocate closest to the veterans and widows, and with minimal funding could reach the maximum number of eligible veterans. Therefore, NACVSO is supporting H.R. 4264, and I'm sorry, my time is out.
Please continue.
It's supporting H.R. 4264 and its companion Senate Bill 1990, introduced by Congressman McIntyre and Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina. This would allow Secretary Nicholson to provide federal, state, local grants and assistance to state and county veterans to enhance outreach to veterans and their dependents. We're already present in most communities and stand ready to assist the Department of Veterans Affairs in their task. In conclusion, if I have commented on any item of interest to this subcommittee, we stand ready to expand on our comments. And thank you for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you very much for taking time to brief us. We will have some questions. I'd like to proceed to Ms. Wersel. You're up. And you got a little button right in front of you on that microphone and the base. Yes.
I'm an audiologist. Can you hear me?
No.
If I say that, can I deduct this on my taxes? It's mass screening. Mr. Chairman, Representative Berkeley, and members of the Subcommittee on Disability Assistance and Memorial Affairs, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today on behalf of Gold Star Wives regarding the importance of accuracy of benefits information and the quality of services received when we are seeking assistance from the Veterans Benefits Administration. I'm here particularly for America's military widows, of which I am one, and our children. I am the widow of Lieutenant Colonel Rich Worsell, United States Marine Corps, who served in Iraq numerous occasions and died on active duty at Camp Lejeune 1 week after his return from Iraq. Most recently, I've worked to assure that all survivors of active duty deaths receive the enhanced benefits of SGLI and the death gratuity, and I thank Congress very much for your help. Today, I'm here to share with you my own experiences, along with the other widows that we have experienced with the government regarding how we receive our benefits information while experiencing the most difficult time of our life, grieving for our husband. I want to thank the members of the subcommittee and its staff for its continued support of all programs related to the well-being of widows and children. However, we do have some concerns. It is imperative that the death of our spouses should not be compounded by the lack of information or confusing information that prevents us from obtaining the assistance needed so that we can begin the rest of our life without our most critical support, and that was our husband. When we are in a currently we are at war, and there are many, many dying at this moment and leaving behind young families. If there is one message I could leave with you today, is that there is never enough accurate information and communication. It should not be dependent on us to ask the right question or to know what question to ask. Getting the right information to the right people at the right time is important. While we're in our fog of grief, we have conversations with many agencies and folders are left for us. A period of adjustment is needed, often just to make a phone call, check a website. Lack of information on the VA website can be frustrating. It is often beyond our 6 months that, or even a year before we can even address some of our issues. By that time, our casualty assistance officer is no longer available. However, we do have a site where we can contact a main person for each branch of service that helps us. Another issue we have is that many of the CACOs, the casualty assistance officers, know nothing of the Montgomery GI Bill or the refunds of BAH, that's basic allowance housing. We have multiple instances of failure to change crucial critical information regarding beneficiaries of SGLI and the failure to change emergency information provided just before leaving for overseas, which is distressful and no fault of the widows. We ask your serious consideration of creating an oversight office for survivors across the VA and DOD to assure improved delivery of benefit information to his widows and extending out the outreach time long enough for it to be meaningful for us who's suffering at this time. Gold Star Wives sponsors a chat room for new widows so that they would have the support of each other, as well as those elder widows who have endured hardships in earlier times. We have knowledge base on our chat room, which is vibrant and gives a real-time look at the issues of these widows that are facing. Many times, we are our best resource system, helping other widows in similar situations to identify where to go for needed information, needed help. And to help the new widows recognize the support that is out there for them. Our issues apply both to new widows and older widows. We are the sorority that no one wants to rush, and our membership is always open. Originally meant to serve as an emotional support, has now turned into an avenue of resources for our widows. Here we can share benefit information in a user-friendly, benign setting. Also, I am here to raise awareness that training and written material must constantly be reviewed and revised because the information is continuously changing. In the most critical time of our lives, we are juggling. We're making decisions. Where are we going to live? What are we going to do with the children? Are we going to quit our job? Are we going to keep our job? And if we're keeping our job, how are we going to do it while we are grieving? I'm running short on time. I'm going to go down to, because I think this is really important, and that is there's some issues on what we have encountered, and that is the getting information regarding our benefits. A lot of the information is critical. I'm out of time. May I proceed?
Please proceed. I'm going to have to leave in just a minute. Ms. Berkeley already headed to the vote. We've about run out of time, but please proceed.
Thank you. A lot of the information is difficult for the calculus to even understand. The smoke and mirrors of SBP DIC benefits, the child option SBP versus the spouse option SBP, confusion with funeral costs, incorrect SGLI, benefit information, CHAMP VA, the list goes on. This information isn't clear, even for the CACOs to deliver to us, and much less for us to understand it. Bereavement counseling is an issue for us. Just trying to get on the website to understand where we go for counseling, what type of referral do we need? Are the counselors really ready for the young widows? I don't think they are. I think we're a breed of our own. That there, it's difficult for them to understand that we may need more time, more frequent visits. We may need more sensitivity when it comes to dealing with a grieving spouse. And from the response that we're getting from our chat room, this is not being done. In conclusion, we do not want to be forgotten. Whenever the ultimate sacrifice is given, there is family left behind. When our nation asked our husbands to give their lives, we are asked to continue our lives with a gap so large it is difficult to transgress. I'm asking you to please show the spirit of this nation by not forgetting us in the time of need. We do not come to condemn the various government personnel who touched our lives, giving them the tools they need to support us widows who are forced to exist in a fog of grief, so that we can make a million unsure decisions that we never had to make before. I thank this committee for using this hearing as one more avenue of awareness and education, for giving me the opportunity to share my thoughts and the goals of Gold Star Wives. We hope that this will alert you to discrepancies and inefficiencies that you may be able to alleviate in your deliberations this year. We will be happy to continue to work with you in addressing any and all outreach initiatives. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and rest assured you are not forgotten. We have to ensure that our service members and veterans, their survivors, are well informed of all of the services that are available out there to ease their transition to civilian life, and also to those widows that are out there who have lost a spouse. And I would also say, without objection, statements will be entered into the record from the Senior Law Project at Washoe County Senior Center and the American Federation of Government Employees. Also, all members will have questions to submit for witnesses. Again, I apologize. This is not the way we were supposed to have ended this today. I have to go for a vote. We will submit questions to you for the record, and we will make sure that VA gets the responses to your questions, because I had hoped that they would be able to be made in public. We thank the VA for staying behind, and I would say I've got to go to the vote now. So with nothing further, this hearing is adjourned.